Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live. I'm Joe Braswell. Today we talk about Airbnb's fight against discrimination, and the iPhone 7 is out. Let's go.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
Yeah. Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech. Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech. I'm Joe Braswell. The show, we break down nerd culture and tech news from a black and brown geek perspective. As I said, I'm Joe Braswell. I'm here solo again for the second week in a row, but probably the last week I'll be solo. My partner in crime, Akili Shine, has got some business he's been doing for the last couple of weeks, but we will be together again, reunited. And it feels so good by next week. Thanks for joining us. A lot of big news. Big news for me, personally. I wish Akili was here so we can have this conversation and debate. Because Apple has dropped some new products. They had their big announcement. And they talked about the watch. They talked about the iPhone. New iPhone 7. There's some games coming. They actually even have a new product. An actual new product in their new AirBuds, which we'll talk about in a second here. But you know, I'm a big fool, big sucker for Apple, so I'm very, very excited. I was very excited to hear all of this news, as always. I guess the first thing is something Akili and I debate all the time is, are these even relevant anymore? I mean, are the big Apple sort of giant reveals, are they even relevant? Or it seems like they tried to make them event worthy, and they still get covered, you know, by everyone, mainstream media and tech media and everything else. But you know, in a world where the cell phone and the smartphone is ubiquitous, and we talked about last week how cell phone 2 weeks ago how cell phone smartphone sales have flattened, and you know, smartphones aren't on the rise as they used to be. Is this such a big deal? I mean, can Apple keep doing this? I think it's a really incredible marketing magic trick that they've pulled. I mean, thanks to Steve Jobs for this, but this notion of having these giant sort of event reveals and making the world tune into what Apple has to say is pretty remarkable. I don't know the data on in terms of how much these things are covered, or how much they're watched, or how much the impact has nowadays versus the old days. It'd be interesting to see if they've actually declined or flattened or increased, but they still do them. So this one started out with Tim Cook, CEO. They did a little something different. They did a sketch, a little sketch. They incorporated everyone's favorite Brit, Mr. James Corden, to do his carpool karaoke, and he picked up Tim Cook and took him to the keynote with Pharrell in the back seat, and they all sang and they wore funny glasses. And it's quite funny and charming as it always is. It's a good opportunity to see Tim Cook sort of get out of his shell a little bit. Could you imagine in a billion years Steve Jobs doing a carpool karaoke? Like, in 1 billion years, I don't think I can picture that. But so they did that, and I think it worked pretty well. And this is, of course, to commemorate the fact that Apple Music is going to have acquired a version of Carpool Karaoke that they will be airing on Apple Music. So, and not starring James Corden, but it's, owned by James Corden and created by James Corden. So that's interesting as well. So, listen, let's get into it. They did a lot. One of the first things they talked about was the new Apple Watch, the much maligned Apple Watch, which I historically was on record a year ago saying, this is going to be the best thing ever. I'm buying three the first day. And Akili was like, no, this is going to suck. Akili was right. Sales were lackluster. The product had a lot of complaints. It didn't quite fulfill the promise that, we wanted it to. And a lot of us, including me, just kind of stayed with the Fitbit. This new generation of Apple watches are definitely a little cooler. The body itself is the same, but they've done a few things. They've sort of dropped the price point a little bit, and they've added water resistance, or almost a waterproof, if you will, and it's good underwater for a while there, which is really, really great. It'll take you down 50 meters, which is a long way to go. So you got waterproof. So they're really kicking it up for athletes and runners and swimmers. It really emphasizes on swimmers and runners. Nike has a version that's involved that sort of syncs with their Nike program, which I think is pretty cool. It's more shareable. It is sort of a better design, has a built-in GPS these times. And they're kind of just calling it Series 2. And $269 retail is, you know, not that bad, although the ceramic version is up to $1,200. So I think it's like, yeah, $1,249. So this is the thing with the Apple Watch, is the range. It just seems like this is the issue with these. I think people want the watch, but people want to pay $249 for the watch. I don't know that there's people out there that are going to pay $1,200 for the Apple Watch to be able to have some of the aesthetic features. But I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean, they've done this before. I don't think anything they had before was up to $1,249, but it was, it's a lot. It's a lot. So I will say they did get me on this one. I am a little intrigued about the Apple Watch. I have to say, the Apple Watch, this version, they may have me back. I would like to see how it goes. And if the reviews come back decent, I may have to cop one at Keeley Shine. So we'll see. We'll see about that. You know, moving on to the iPhone 7. The iPhone 7 was revealed. Now, look, nothing dramatically new about the body style and the shape of the iPhone 7. iPhone 7 is pretty much this exactly same size, a little thinner than the previous versions. The big thing about the iPhone 7, they do have some major enhancements here. The big thing is they've made it water resistant. Now, it's different from waterproof, but it's water and dust resistant. The iPhones, the last 9 years, have been notorious for water damage and dust damage. And they're pretty good about replacing certain things, but the water damage and the dust damage are terrible. And it's because it's, you know, you've got a lot of exposed parts. You got exposed parts for the speakers. Air has to get in there. You got exposed parts for, obviously, the headphone jack. So it's been a tricky thing. So what they've done is they've able to figure out how to make this thing water resistant, which I think is a wonderful, wonderful smart move for them. One of the things that they've done, which we may or may not like, and we'll see how this goes, and Apple seems to be on the cutting edge of the way things are going, but they've got rid of the headphone jack. They've made this a completely wireless phone, which makes sense on paper, but it's very, very difficult to achieve the sort of the clarity you want and need and the reliability you need out of a jack versus something you have to charge and something that's wireless. But Apple seems to be very confident that they've got something here. There's been a lot of complaints of, you know, people have already got headphones, like piles of headphones in drawers, and now they're going to have, you know, these wireless headphones. Also, the price point of these things are $169 each. They've got some higher end Beats ones that are even higher. They've got some ones that you can work out in that are not cheap either. So, and they do have a lower end version of Beats that doesn't look as sexy, but they have that as well. Consumers are like, now I got to go away from all these cords and go into having a bunch of chargers. I got to charge my phone. I got to charge my headphones. It's gonna be a pain in the ass. I just think in general change is hard. So people don't really like to change, but I think that technology has to push forward. It just sort of has to push forward. And I do believe that the wireless way is the way to go. It's kind of the way we need to do it. I think what it took is this technology's been around for years, but it just took this long to be able to standardize it and say, okay, consumers, this is the way we want to go. And Apple's known for doing that. We may not like it. We never like it when Apple changes shit. We never like it. But, you know, they're 80% of the time they've been spot on in sort of changing the way we do consumer electronics, which has changed the way we do life. I mean, look at the iPad and the iPhone itself and even the iMac and everything else. So I like this move. I like it. They've also added a lightning cord adapter on the bottom. So if you do want to plug in your traditional headphones, you can get an adapter and plug them in there. The question is, how do you charge your phone and then listen to your headphones at the same time? To do that, they have a $50 dock, which you have to buy and then plug it into a dock and then plug your headphones into that. None of that seems very cool, but, you know, Change is a bumpy road, and I'm kind of all for it. Where they get you every time, though, is one thing they say they're going to change all this stuff, but all this stuff costs money. $50 for the docking station, $169 for the iPhones, you know, the jack, which is going to come standard in every package. But anyway, and they've also added a cool new color. That the midnight, I think it's called Midnight Black, which is very cool. And they pumped up the memory. So before, the highest memory was 128, like I have here, and I thought it was a baller with my 128. Well, they've doubled that up to 256, which is very cool. So the highest end is 256, the medium is 128, and then the low is 64. So Apple's recognizing that, you know, we are getting up to the point where we need, you know, a lot more gigs. You remember the days when they had Apple had the 2 gig and the 4 gig and the 8 gig? Like, that was it. This is what a difference 10 years makes, or 9 years make. Jeez. Now, I mean, I can't imagine having the power of 128 gigs on my phone, and then now 256 gigs on my phone. We're knocking on the door to 500 gigs into a terabyte. So we'll see. It's also remarkable how they're able to just continue to innovate and make these processors faster and smaller, and this battery life longer, and the storage heavier. I mean, I think that's Apple doesn't get enough credit for the innovations they do on the tech side. But speaking of which, the battery life is plans to be, if you own an iPhone 6, the battery life will probably be double what you get performance wise out of your iPhone 6. If you own a 6S, probably 50% more, which is still pretty decent. I kind of like all this stuff. This is the first time I really feel good about, you know, all the Apple. There's something about these products and what they've done here actually really genuinely feels like they're moving forward. The last couple of ones felt like, yeah, we changed some things around, we got a keynote, you know, it felt like they're like Apple's putting a move on us. But this feels like they're doing something. They're doing something that moves forward. Also, last thing about this iPhone, they've got an amazing processor on this thing, which allows them to run some console style games. So the new games coming out for iPhone 7 will be quite amazing. So the demo showed this one game, Wizard of Oz game, where you can watch and render it was like 500 monkeys flying in the background, and while you're playing the game, I mean, that's console level stuff. So that's also very, very cool. So we'll be looking forward to see what cool new games come out for your console, because yeah, it's a good place. All in all, I give this, you know, if I had to grade it, I give this like an A-. I feel good about all these products. Nintendo finally has an actual game, Mario version game coming exclusively to iPhone, which is something we've been begging for years and years and years. So that's finally here. That should be pretty cool. So yeah, man. Apple. I'm very interested in buying all these products now, because I and Akili are on the, I think we're on the S cycle, you know, I think because some people are in that. I mean, you have to be, I don't know who you have to be to just flat out trading your phone every time there's a new phone and get a new phone. I don't know if that's possible, but since I'm on the S cycle, I probably will have to wait until the 7S to come out, but we'll see. I'm going to talk to my Apple dealer and see if I can just swap this thing out, because I always like having new stuff. Anyway, moving on. Before we move on, I do want to talk about our friends at General Assembly. We talk about General Assembly every week, and it's really an amazing, amazing school technology, because if you are, you know, wanting to be in the business of tech or anything involving tech, business, data management, any of that stuff, General Assembly is a school that is awesome, that we talk about all the time for you. They're the largest, most respected company around worldwide. They have, you can even do this thing online, or you can go in person to one of their beautiful campuses. There's like over 350,000 people who have done this so far and use it to propel their careers and get this great training. And it's fantastic. And they have over 2,500 companies worldwide who have hired the General Assembly graduates. And the thing about General Assembly, which we talk about all the time, is 99% of their graduates receive, you know, get a job or get something related, get a job in the career that they want within 6 months of starting a class. So literally, you go to a class online or one of their beautiful campuses, and you take the course, and 6 months later, you are working in the field of your choice. I don't know where, there's not too many things you can say that about. So check it out, man. Take control of your career now. Go to ga.co/geek. That's go.co/geek. Enter the promo code GEEK for Geek Nerd Tech. Save on your first class or workshop or event. That's ga.co/geek. Code word GEEK. That's a general assembly is where it's at. I want to move on. Oh, one thing I did mention about the iPhone is their camera. God, I'm going to iPhone. But they've got these crazy new camera as well, which is like, probably their most advanced camera yet. They've got dual lens technology. They've got, you can zoom in on these. You can zoom in like no other on these things. I mean, already, like Tim Cook mentioned this in their Shot by iPhone campaign, the pictures you can take on the iPhone 6S and the 6S Plus are unreal. And supposedly, with the new iPhone 7, you're going to be able to do crazy things. I mean, it's not quite DSLR quality, but it's really, really close. 12 megapixel sensor. It's got the new crazy advanced flash, which will be able to do a lot of things for you while you're rolling tape and also taking pictures. It's really sort of changed what creatives are allowed to do, what they're able to do. So that's all. I just want to also get into that. I want to move on and talk about Airbnb. A lot of us use Airbnb. I use it all the time. I actually love it a lot, and it's one of those businesses that didn't seem like it could work on paper. You're inviting people into your homes. How do you regulate that? What's going to happen? Crazy billionaire investor Chris Sacca famously turned down an opportunity to be involved in Airbnb when he heard the pitch, because he's like, this is ridiculous. People are going to get murdered in there and raped, and it's terrible, and it's a bad idea. Well, he was wrong, as he was wrong about Instagram. He thought, like, who wants to share pictures? But he did get Twitter right and Uber right and a bunch of others right, so he's fine. But Airbnb's done quite well, and it's been able to thrive, and it's had some issues in larger cities like New York and others, but, like, it's been able to thrive. But one of the things that keeps popping up, and I have to say, I think I've experienced this myself, is, they really do nothing about discrimination. The thing about Airbnb is the only thing you have is reviews people write about you and your picture. And there's a lot of complaints from African-Americans and Latinos who feel as though they do not get rented a place because of the color of their skin. And there's been all kinds of weird sting operations where someone has, showed their real picture as an African-American and got turned down, and then submitted a picture as same person as a white guy and got and approved. So, I mean, look, you can't do anything about human nature, but this is a business, and this asks really interesting questions about, in the sort of shareable community world where we're asking individuals to sort of, where one company like Airbnb is empowering a bunch of individuals like us to go out and run these individual sort of, businesses for, individual businesses for the larger corporation. How do you regulate that? Same thing with Uber. Uber has now hundreds and hundreds of thousands of drivers in their employ all over the country and all over the world. It's a lot of employees that are kind of like independent contractors, but employees at the time. So how do you monitor each and every driver and make sure that each and every driver is up to the standards of Uber? Same thing with Airbnb. They're trying to figure out how to deal with this racial discrimination things, and they've been sort of slow to react to it. And the stats were there. I mean, there's 16% more often applicants being accepted than black sounding names or black photos. It's right in line with what we think are normal sort of prejudices are and discrimination rates are in this country, but it's something that Airbnb as a company doesn't want to do anything about. So they've got this disclaimer on their things now. If you're a renter, they have that disclaimer that says something to the effect of, we believe no matter who you are, where you're from, or where you travel, you should be able to be among the Airbnb community. By joining this community, you commit to treat fellow members of this community, regardless of race, religion, national origin, disability, sex, gender, identity, sexual orientation, or age, with respect, without judgment or bias. That's a well-crafted statement. Will that stop you as a renter from discriminating against disabled people or gay people or people of color? Who knows? But at least they're trying to do something to address it, which we'll see. Another thing here with Airbnb as well, there's a story about sort of the sponsored posts that are happening with people like Beyonce and Gwyneth Paltrow it's tricky because people want to know. I think consumers want to know if the participants are being compensated. If someone like Gwyneth Paltrow is shouting out Airbnb, thank you for the lovely birthday home in Turks and Caicos, like you got to think that Airbnb is hooking her up. And I guess the question is, how much of that is that supposed to make us as consumers want to go to Airbnb, or is that going to turn us off because we feel like that these celebrities we love are big upping Airbnb, but we know that Airbnb is giving them that for free? So how does this work? I guess it just speaks to what we already deal with in consumer branding. But there's something about doing these things online and having things being posted where there's a certain honesty or a certain level of honesty we expect from Instagram and Twitter and all those other things. And I don't know. It's interesting. There's a bit of a backlash from the Beyoncés and Gwyneth Paltrow. And then latest is Kim Kardashian, who has this gigantic 5-bedroom, 6-bathroom penthouse that rents for about $10,000 a night. And Kim Kardashian was like, thank you for the gift, Airbnb. And so, I don't know. I mean, Kim Kardashian can afford $10,000 a night. It's the age-old thing of the more money you have, the higher your celebrity, the less you pay for. It just is what it is. But, I don't know, it comes with territory. Anyway, interesting. Next, I want to move on to this story about Dustin Moskowitz, who is a co-founder. Not much talked about. People don't talk about Dustin that much. But he's a co-founder of Facebook, and he's out there, and he's doing his thing, and he's got a lot of money, and he's recently in the news for pledging $20 million to help defeat billionaire Donald Trump. It's a huge donation to the Democratic Party. Bill Maher made news when he donated $1 million to Obama, just to show that, just talk about the money in campaigns and also show his support. But $20 million to defeat Donald Trump, on a website called Compelled to Act. He's the biggest campaign donation Moskowitz has made to date was $5,200 in 2003. So that's a big jump from $5,200 to $20 million. So you feel very strongly about this. I'm just laughing because people don't know about Moskowitz. And he's in the cut. He's a co-founder of ISIS, and he's got a shitload of money. So good for him. I want to talk about Ford, but before I do that, I want to talk about our pals at DraftKings. Football season's here. It started today. Actually started Thursday, and I started my fantasy league. I also started my DraftKings games as well. DraftKings is great because you can share in $100,000in DraftKings free in DraftKings money this weekend. DraftKings is hosting a free contest this weekend for $100,000 in total prize up for grabs. DraftKings is the destination for fantasy football. Again, you don't have to have these season-long commitments. You can just go for 1 week at a time, pick your team, play against individual, play against a bunch of people, draft your players, and you go live. There's also 50-50 contests where The top half of all entries win cash. So there's all kinds of ways to win in DraftKings. Here's what you do. You go to DraftKings.com. Now use promo code GEEK to play for free in this week's $100,000 fantasy contest. The contest is 100% free. There's no reason not to play. Again, that's promo code GEEK to play for free and your share of 100 grand this weekend. Only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See the website for details. Use that promo code GEEK. So Ford is the latest company to sort of join this idea. They joined General Motors a while back, made news by buying into Lyft, or and spending $100 million, $500 million in Lyft, hopefully helping to get their fleet of autonomous cars out there. What you see is with the proliferation of Lyft and Uber, the giant car companies are like, well, if these cars are all out there, how about we drop all of our cars? What if all Lyft cars were GM cars? That's something to be said, and to help us sell these cars. Plus, help us get our autonomous vehicles out there. Well, Ford has acquired a company called Chariot. They're based in San Francisco, kind of an on-demand shuttle, somewhere between a taxi cab and Uber. But they're same thing. It's a very popular shuttle for all the people who go back and forth all around the Bay Area, who go from San Francisco down to Silicon Valley and back. It's got a lot, and what they wanted to do is get involved. And so right now, Chariot operates 100 Ford shuttles, and basically Ford said, "Let's buy it. Let's buy into it." So they bought it, and so it's interesting. So now you'll have Chariot will always be Ford, and I think it's an interesting move and sort of a trend that's happening with all these sort of car services that the car companies want to get involved. Let's see. Last couple things, really quick hits. This is a cool story about a kid who held up a sign during ESPN game day, college game day. He has his Vimeo ID on the sign. It said, "Hi, Mom, send beer money." And it has Vimeo ID on there. Well, it's a very cool idea because he's on national television and he's showing his Vimeo sign, and it actually worked. I don't know if his mom sent him any money, but Vimeo sent him $50, which is great, and he got over 2,000 pledges for money just for saying, "Hi, Mom, send beer money." So people thought that was funny and sent him beer money. Now there's no minimum amount on Vimeo, so a lot of people were sending him 1 cent, but he did get a lot larger donations in hell, you know. What do you do? I mean, 2,000 users. I mean, I'm sure he got a lot of money. I think that was a really cool thing. I'm going to wait for Keely on this one because I wanted to talk about Atlanta, the new FX show starring the Childish Gambino himself. And it is a remarkable show, and I really want to talk about it. But I will save that because I'm going to have a discussion with Keely on that one because I thought that I want to hear his takes on that too. But if you haven't checked out Atlanta, it's Corey Glover, and it is on FX. I think it's 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock on FX. Episode 2, which is technically episode 3 because the first week was 2 episodes, is airing on Tuesday. Please watch this show. It is really, really, really great. Last couple things. Refinery 29's Fashion Week this last week, big thing. Refinery 29, the interactive agency, did a giant installation, 800,000 square foot thing in Bushwick in Brooklyn, and they got 80,000 square foot. They got all these sort of folks, big brands, like Ford and Michael Kors and the show Broad City, Abby Jacobson from Broad City, Lady Gaga, Hillary Clinton Foundation, all have these rooms, these themed rooms, talking about like a lot of the themes that they talk about in on the site. So whether it's body positive image or green cars or voting, and it's this sort of really giant experiential kind of fun house, which I think is very cool. You don't think it's Fashion Week is having, some goofy, fun, gimmicky things like that, but this was sort of like a giant, I guess it's like, you can call it an art installation in one way, but you can also call it kind of a weird funhouse. There's a lot of interactive things like listening rooms and giant balls that you can, swim around in, and it's really cool. So I thought that was fun. And last but not least, we've talked about Oculus Rift a lot. Well, the VR experience, virtual reality filmmakers, She got an Emmy at the Creative Arts Emmys for the VR experience Henry, which was directed by a Pixar veteran, Romero Lopez, and it's really, really cool. And it not only got nominated, but I think it won on the Creative Arts Emmy. And it's a second one because the Sleepy Hollow VR experience got an Emmy as well. But this kind of shows that, you know, we're really pushing the world of VR out of like a experiential sort of fun house, if you will, to an art form that you can use for active storytelling. So, you know, animation is a good place to start. Gaming is another place to start. But we'll see where this goes, how this will go into traditional filmmaking, traditional television, traditional narrative. But something to keep our eye on. So that's it. Wow, that's all I got. That's a lot. Thank you for joining me on my solo run of Geek Nerd Tech. I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter and Instagram. And also check me out at JK Braz on Snapchat. I'm snapping away. For Keely Shine, this is Joe Braswell. We'll see you next week.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire VHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at VHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.